Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Newly minted Vice President of Football Operations for the Ottawa Redblacks, Sean Burke, joins us, fresh off hiring Ryan Dinwiddie as his head coach and general manager. The two will work alongside each other. Sean, let's just start with, take us behind the scenes. How did this happen in terms of the process playing out?
Exciting day, obviously, but I'll talk about the process. End of the year, we made a decision to make a coaching change, and I sat down with OSEG's leadership and ownership and talked about my vision of the process of bringing in a new head coach. And I think my responsibility as the guy running the football operations side is to bring any and every idea together and not get encumbered by what the situations are of other people, just bringing the best names that I felt were at the top of the list. And Ryan was at the top of that list, of considering what he's done to date in his coaching career, the success he's had. I just simply put, he's a winner. And, it was my job to explain how we get there. Ryan has been vocal before of wanting to get into the realm of personnel a little more, talked about aspirations and everything like that. And I described, for me, it's about winning. It's not about what titles are or what people's roles are. It's about working with the right people that can help you win. And that's what we had to focus on. So presented various different options, but said, for me, Ryan would be at the top of the list of someone I want to explore. And, we requested permission for that opportunity to explore him to be our head coach and general manager, and we're ultimately granted it. And then it started with just getting together and talking how it works. It might be non-traditional in the sense of the Ottawa franchise, but this is a traditional structure in a lot of pro football in terms of the coach. You have very big, if not final, personnel calls. I have no problem with that. My philosophy is always to be working in the partnership with the GM, and your biggest job as a general manager is giving your coach the resources to be successful. So zero concern about that way. We'd never worked together, so it was about making sure we are aligned philosophy-wise and our vision-wise of how things would work and what we want out of this organization, and we just hit it off. I remember telling someone to swing by at 12:30 and drop off some lunch for us on the first day we were meeting, and they came in, and we started at 8 a.m. and I thought it was only 8:30 and it was already 12:30. So just getting to know each other, very similar. I made a mistake. I said similar backgrounds of coming up, obviously not similar. Ryan played the game at a very high level, just got inducted in the Boise State Hall of Fame. I didn't play. I always talk about that, I think you have to be authentic in where you came from, and I have great belief in what I do. But what I was saying in regards to background is Ryan got off the field and started essentially in a intern type position with the Alouettes, of just getting his foot in the door and working his way up and making the move to Calgary and getting more of a role there with his duties, but also in that Calgary system, who I have a great deal of respect for. They're sort of the Blue Bombers before the Blue Bombers. The coaches have a big part in the personnel in that organization and have this type of setup. So very very impressed with his personnel knowledge and how the organization runs, and we just went from there.
In terms of the details, when did you ask the Toronto Argonauts for permission to talk to Ryan Dinwiddie about the dual role and then eventually receive it?
Our organization asked permission on Friday. The Argos were beyond professional in working with them to establish that. Credit goes to Roger Greenberg, who reached out to Keith Pelly. They gave him the heads up, and then obviously more of a formal request that came from our organization to their football people there. There's a certain amount of time that they're allowed to think about things, and we got granted the permission on Monday of this week to start our process of interviewing Ryan for our head coach general manager role.
For the people that don't know, how long is that time frame that teams can think about whether or not they want to grant that permission?
It's not really defined. That's more probably to be directed to the CFL, but the reality was it was a promotion. We obviously explained that to Toronto, explained what the setup would be to Toronto, and explained it to the league, and both parties agreed that that's what it truly was, and we wanted to give them the time that they requested. So it's not really defined, but I can say, like I said, working with them through this, the Argos were very, very easy to work with in terms of being professional.
To continue with the behind-the-scenes theme, you're granted permission on Monday. Ryan Dinwiddie, from what I understand, makes his home or has made his home in Toronto. So did he end up coming down to Ottawa and you guys were meeting face-to-face, or how did that all work?
Yeah, absolutely. Very easy to get from Toronto to Ottawa, obviously. Got him on a flight up here and was here late on Monday night, and we started to converse on Tuesday morning.
Did this whole process come together perhaps faster than you anticipated?
Yeah, when I put the list together, you don't know if it was something he'd be interested in, if it would actually work. But, with my experience in the league, especially with free agency and whatnot, Ryan to me was a target for us if we were granted that permission. So things speed up through that, especially when you see alignment and similarities with beliefs, and that came together through these conversations. So I think you go into certain decisions with what you think it's going to look like, and it evolves, especially when you feel you have the right person.
There have been some fans asking, because Bob Dyce had that extra year left on his contract in 2026, how you were able to fit this in the football operations cap. But I would imagine Ryan not only being the head coach and general manager, but the offensive coordinator helped with that. Can you kind of shed any light as to how that's possible?
Yeah, there's obviously the football ops cap that all the teams adhere to. The reality is when you make some changes with that, there is some flexibility in terms of the amount of time that the contract is spread out on that you're paying off, right? So it's not like it's a full year salary on your cap the next year. And then there's some mechanisms in terms of free pulls, that I would call them, that don't count against the cap. So, it gives football teams the flexibility to make decisions when you have to make them and go from there. So we were able to work something out with Ryan and his agents that worked for all parties, and we're excited to get him on board.
And I think from what I've heard in the league, and I'm just asking because people are sort of loose on the details, is you can potentially spread that kind of a, let's say, head coach contract out over 5 years. Is that one of the mechanisms, let's say?
It's probably better for the league to speak to that, but it's easy, not easier, but it's less challenging than people would think.
Now let's get to the relationship that you and Ryan Dinwiddie will have in terms of working together. It sounds like, based on what you said earlier, that he's going to have full control over the roster. You go to vice president of football operations. How does sort of the line work in terms of who has final say over what?
Yeah, Ryan definitely has final say over the roster, and it's not something that I'm not similar to or accustomed to, I should say. In Hamilton, there was obviously a different structure than most football organizations. This is more probably aligned with normalcy in terms of that. So it's very something I'm used to, and I see with colleagues in the business, both the NFL and CFL-wise. You know, Ryan is going to be doing general manager duties, right? He's going to be involved in the personnel department, but at the same time, I have the background to be able to lead the scouting department, put the process together, lead operationally, handle training camp, logistics. Obviously, both of us will play a heavy part in recruitment of players, both via Neglist and free agency, but contract negotiations, all those sort of day-to-day things will still fall on myself.
There are some people that look at this, Sean, and think that in a way you might be taking a step back, and this might have been, you know, something that you might not have had a decision to do. But from the sounds of it, everything that you've laid out here, it was your decision, and you wanted to become the VP of football operations and bring in Ryan Dinwiddie as a head coach and GM.
Absolutely. I think the number one requirement of a leader in any organization, but I can only speak to football organization, is doing what's best. And, you know, we ask players throughout a season, off season, to fit into their role, do things a certain way. And I felt it was best to bring this setup forward as a potential situation to our OSAG owners and our management team. Obviously, I'd explained how it worked, the commitment it would take from the organization. It's a strong commitment to bring in someone like Ryan Dinwiddie to do that. Kudos to our group who have shown that since day one, since I've been here. But it was me coming to them with the thoughts and ideas. I fully was the one that executed the interview process, that executed the negotiations, and I'm fully behind that. I don't think it's a step back. When you're in the right situations with the right people, it doesn't matter who does what, it's about winning. And Ryan's made that clear through his career, but also clear through us getting to spend a bunch of this time together, that's his singular focus. It's obviously my singular focus as well. We owe that to our fan base. We owe that to our organization, not just the football side of things, but the entire organization. And most of all, we owe it to the players that we bring in here, is we're here to compete and win each and every day. And I think we have a great guy that's leading our organization to do that.
You mentioned the interview process. And, you know, I think back to when you made Bob Dice the permanent full-time head coach after he was the interim head coach. And there's some people out there talking about, well, in hindsight, you could have hired Corey Mace. But you did have a perspective on Mace at the time that you thought he would be a great head coach. So, you know, how do you sort of, I guess, talk to those people who want to point at it and say, hey, like, this was an easy decision. Why didn't it happen with Ottawa?
Oh, you know, I think Bob and Corey are both great football people. So at the time, I thought we had two very great candidates. You know, Bob getting relieved of his duties is not a reflection of just him. It's a reflection of everyone within the organization, most of all myself. So had a great working relationship with Bob. Did have a great interview experience with Corey. Maintain contact with him, have a friendship with him. I think he's done a great job at Saskatchewan. Definitely went into that process. And I think everyone, if you went back, you know, all the pundits and media guys like you talk about the list of who could be the candidates. And Corey sort of came to the forefront just talking through contacts in the league and who he was as a person, and to get that time to spend with him was great. So see the big things he's doing in Sask. Cheer him on. That's a great organization. J.O., Corey, everyone there do a great job, a ton of respect for them, and that's where we want to get to. You know, they're facing – similar situation before making a coaching move and made that. And obviously the last 2 years there have been drastically different. Last year we took a step here, 9-8-1. I think it might have been the same record as them because we tied each other. And we took a step back this year, and we're about moving forward. I feel great that OSEG has belief in me as the leader of the football operations departments to do that. I'm appreciative. At the same time, I have a ton of confidence in what I do. I've been doing this a long time. I worry about what I can control, which is helping our football club get better each and every day.
You talked about the process and putting your ideal head coach candidate list together in terms of this hiring. Did you even have time to talk to anybody else, or was Ryan Dinwiddie your sole focus?
No, we didn't. Ryan was the only guy we requested. That could have changed through the process if our discussions didn't go as great as they did, if he didn't feel as strongly about coming here and the commitment he was making to our organization. But when you have someone of Ryan's stature that you have the ability to add to your organization, and he was at the top of your list to begin with, it changes the process. And I was fully happy to speed that up. I think it enables us to hit the ground running a bit more. With more of time in the off season, to lose 2-3 weeks of the off season and not be able to start hitting the ground running means a lot. But I just felt we had our guy. We wanted to center in, and we wanted to make this move to make our organization better.
There are people around the league, and I think it's pretty close to unanimous, that will look at Ryan Dinwiddie and say he's the best offensive play caller in the league and he's the best quarterback developer in the league, considering what he just did with Nick Arbuckle, turning him into a 4,000-yard passer, and if he stayed healthy, could have likely got to that 5,000-yard mark. Add to that two Grey Cups as a head coach, all the success he had in Toronto. Can you believe that this has become real for you?
Well, like I said, it's obviously at the top of the wish list, and sometimes that's what it starts as a wish list. Like I was saying, you start at the top and you see what's actually obtainable and not, and for that to happen, excited. I think it brings a lot of excitement to our organization, to our city. Excited to work with them every day, just the ability to connect with them over these past couple of days and discuss philosophies, discuss personalities, discuss our strengths and weaknesses. I think one of the things, we obviously know we have to win football games and win championships. That's the goal. But, personal goal for me is growth. And when you're working with people that you feel can help you grow, both personally and professionally, that's a great thing. And he echoed the same thing to me is, he'd obviously done some research through his time of who I am and how I am to work with, just like I had done. And he obviously felt very comfortable with what he had heard. So, it gives me a boost in my confidence as well to know that we could land someone like him.
You have your VP now, that would be you, of football operations. Your general manager and head coach, that would be Ryan Dinwiddie. The next most logical decision to make would be your quarterback. Drew Brown is under contract for the 2026 season, although he does have a six-figure offseason roster bonus. Is there alignment there on Drew Brown? Was that talked about with Ryan Dinwiddie through the process?
Oh, we talk roster, and the biggest thing I said is everything's open for evaluation, right? I obviously talked about Drew at the end of the year of who I thought he was, and he wasn't on the football field a lot for us, so I think a lot of evaluation is unfair to him when he wasn't healthy. And we have to look at the full collection of not only the 2 years here, but the film that had us evaluate to bring Drew here. So Drew, incredible guy in the building each and every day. No one works harder, but ultimately, like I talked about today, Ryan will have full roster control. He will start breaking down the film with me. We'll do it hand in hand and make decisions. And like I said, at the end of our season, is I'm not going to encumber, be it head coach only, head coach GM, head coach, GM, president, whoever, whatever it worked out to, they're not going to be encumbered. It's a partnership. And how can you say when you're talking to someone, we're going to do this together, if I hand over a depth chart that says, oh, here's the guys we have coming in, work with them. So I'm excited to do that with them. Obviously, we know the quarterback's a very important position, the most important position, and working on that decision-making together.
And how critical was that for you in the process when you were evaluating Ryan Dinwiddie, that not only the offense can be taken care of at a high level, but the quarterback position and what he can do with it can really help push the Ottawa Redblacks forward, who, you know, some fans might say have been looking for that bona fide, legitimate, consistent, high-level starter since Henry Burris was there?
Yeah, you know, Ryan definitely... You can look at the track record, right? 3 division titles, 2 Grey Cups. One of the years he didn't win the Grey Cup, 16-2. This year, like you talked about, highest scoring offense. So definitely has that on his resume. I know it was a pain in the butt to play against his offense ever since he got to Toronto that way. So excited to see what he brings. I think a fresh set of eyes will help us in the personnel department in terms of what he brings as a general manager and giving some critical thoughts on our roster. He's very complimentary through the process of knowing that there's some pieces in place here. This isn't a complete rebuild and sort of construction project. He feels there's some things here. There's also some areas we need to address, and I was very open with him of what I thought that was as well. So it's exciting. But to get someone with his background and his success, it starts first and foremost, he's been a winner.
Do you foresee the rest of the coaching staff being changed over? You know, for example, I've heard that William Fields has a contract for 2026, so could he still be the defensive coordinator, or does Ryan have say
Ryan
over that?
Ryan will have full control like any head coach on his coaching staff.
And in terms of what's next for the Ottawa Redblacks in the offseason, does the team have some salary cap money left over to try to re-sign some of those key pieces that you really want, or what's your focus?
Oh, our focus is letting Ryan hit the ground running. It's about integrating him into not just our football operations side, but our OSAG family. It's about him connecting with the players. It's about him putting the staff together. And then it's about us putting together a plan for a roster we want to shape. So I won't get into salary cap specifics, but know that we'll be working each and every day to improve this football club.
And how critical was it for you and OSAG that Ryan Dinwiddie's willing to live there year round?
I think it's always give and take. Like, you know, lots of teams don't have coaches that are there, but it said something about him of what it meant to be the head coach of this organization and being in the city 365 days a year. You know, I also think on top of that, for his general manager duties, it's a lot different than just being a head coach in terms of the off season, especially with the responsibilities he'll have. So, you know, it's very important. For me, I'm 12 months a year here in the office pretty much daily, and for him to understand the importance of that for us working together and some of what he was looking for in terms of it's not about a title. It's actually about him wanting to do these things and grow his tool set in his career and having that ability to do those things meant being here full time.
Before I let you go, Sean, is there anything about this process, hiring Ryan Dinwiddie or the Red Blacks, that you want to get out to your fans?
No, just excited to you know, at the end of the day, this is news, and you don't want to win press conferences. You want to win football games, and we understand that. This is the first part. I think we had to show our fan base what change meant. We talked about change when we made a decision to make a coaching change, but they didn't necessarily know what it meant, and I think this sends a signal of what our organization is looking to do and give our football club the best resources to do so. And I'm excited to work with Ryan every day. I have a lot of confidence in what both of us can do together, and we're excited to get working.
Thank you for the time and insight, Sean. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.